have a very interesting study this morning. But before we do, I was impressed as I was listening through Patriarchs and Prophets. I was impressed with a statement about when Moses got up to speak, or when Aaron got up to speak, and which should be true for a Sabbath school teacher, it should be true for a minister. This is what it says in page 299 of Patriarchs and Prophets. He should receive the word of God to speak to them. So this morning, if this is to be of any value, anything that we say should start in heaven, and we simply be a, shall we say, a speaker that speaks God's word. It's interesting. If you do have a speaker, there's a speaker up there, I believe, that round baffle. It doesn't invent its message, does it? It only speaks what it gets from the microphone. In man's words, Ellen White says, in counsels to parents and teachers, if of any value, echo the words of God. Peter said, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. So let's pray today that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart can be acceptable to God. Shall we bow our heads? Father in heaven, how thankful we are for your word. And I pray that this morning that our thoughts can be in harmony with your will and our words can be in harmony with your word. We pray that this Sabbath school class and our time may not simply be a ritual we go through like the Jews did week by week, but this can be something where we can actually plug in to heaven, that your spirit can fall, that angels may fill this room, and that we can be changed into the image of Christ. In his name we pray, amen. I suppose all of us have been exposed to some fraud at some time or another. Somebody claiming to be somebody they weren't. I was 9 years old when I met my first fraud. My dad was pastor of Atlantic Union College. And we just moved there from, he had been pastor in Madison College. And we moved up to South Lancaster. And so for the Thanksgiving, we went to Plymouth Rock there, since it was, I think it was about a 2, maybe 3 hour trip from South Lancaster. And there I was, 9 years old. My parents were always looking for somebody that might be interested in studying the Bible. So even at Plymouth Rock, as they mingled with people, they were looking, who might the Lord have brought us here to witness to? And there was a fellow who was appeared to be Indian. And so as we were going through something there in Plymouth, my dad began to talk to him, mother, and he appeared to be interested in different things, invited him to eat with us for our picnic lunch. And so there, overlooking the bay, we ate lunch together. And by the end of lunch, my parents had figured out that this fellow who claimed he was from Ceylon was not. But I wasn't bright enough to do that, and so I would ask him questions. I was somewhat surprised that he didn't seem to know the simplest things about the country that he supposedly was from. But through the years, it alerted me many times to people who would claim to be something they weren't. Now, if you listen to the news with an ear attuned to the voice of God, you'll find that the headline news tell us important lessons that God is trying to teach society. And I was very interested in Monday's headline on Google's on Sandra Boss. Sandra Boss was a student at Harvard, one of their top students, a second-year student, and she met in her second year one of the Rockefellers. Clark Rockefeller. Now, she went on to graduate, got a prestigious job, $2 million a year, bright lady, competent, hard worker. And she married this man who had a collection of $1 billion worth of art. And he had had a $50 million inheritance, but he'd had to use it up to clear his father's name of an embezzlement charge. She stayed with this man for 12 years, but he was no Rockefeller. A wag called him Crockefeller. He controlled her. He abused her. He had no income. She provided all the income. She believed him. But the Rockefellers, she made $1 million, $2 million a year and often didn't have enough to eat because he controlled the bank accounts. The Rockefellers stay unequivocally, we do not know him. He's no relative of ours. He claimed his mother was the child actress Anne Carter. But she says, I don't know who he is. Fraudulently claiming to be a child Rockefeller may be rare. But fraudulently claiming to be a Christian is not rare. And I think from the news, God would teach us to ask the question, am I really who I claim to be, a child of God? You know, the Jews at the time of Jesus said, yes, we're children of God. Jesus says, you're children of the devil. You're not children of Abraham. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied, done many wonderful works? We're Clark Rockefeller. And God will say, don't know who you are. You're not here on my list of my children. This morning we're going to look at discipleship, but I don't think we're going to get very far beyond the memory verse. Let's look at it. I do like the NIV that they chose there. Let's look at it in the NIV, John 15:8. And can you say it with me? This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. There are people that claim to be disciples of Jesus. But what's the proof? Where's the tofu, shall we say? I like the ESV, which says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove. Oh, I guess I read that instead of the NIV. So prove to be my disciples. See, Clark Rockefeller is not able to prove that he is a Rockefeller. Can I prove that I'm a disciple? Or is my claim as phony as Rockefeller's? Don't be impressed if others believe your claim. A pretty smart lady for 12 years lived with a man who was a fraud. Hitler said, people are stupid. If you're going to lie, make it what? You remember we've mentioned this before. Make it so big that people couldn't believe that you were actually lying about that. If you tell just a tiny lie, they'll doubt it. But if you tell a big lie, they'll believe it.
Well, it must be so convincing because, you know, we're told that at the end it's the angels that will do the separating, you know, and they probably don't even know until then, you know.
That's a very good point. The Emmy Awards that people get for acting, acting the part of a Christian. So, people who couldn't be farther from God claim to be representatives of God. And millions believe it. Millions worship some human as the representative of Christ, the vicar of Christ. Isn't that true? Yeah. And but according to our memory verse, what is the proof that we are children of God? According to the memory verse, first
fruit.
One word, fruit. By their fruits, what? You will know them. No fruit, no disciple.
But those who said that, Lord, I did this in your name and I did that in your name, they thought they had fruit. So we need to define fruit.
That's correct. Now let's read 5T348. You don't have it, and I didn't print one out for you. I should have, now as I stand up here. The fruit we bear is the only test of the character of the tree before the world. This is the proof of our discipleship. If our works are of such a character that as branches of the living vine, we bear rich clusters of precious fruit, then we shall wear before the world God's own badge as his sons and daughters.
Well, so I'm thinking though too that if we you know concentrate on bearing fruit, that's not where the nutrients is. You know, we can't just think, well, I need to bear more fruit to prove that I'm a Christian. It is by beholding Jesus and growing, getting our strength from him that we have the fruit. And so I would say that to claim to be a Christian and not bear fruit or be deceived would be that they're not really looking at who Jesus is.
Well, that brings us to the question, since everybody bears fruit, doesn't matter. Everyone bears fruit. And the question is, what is the fruit we need to bear? What is the fruit? Let's look at Deuteronomy 28:51 and see what the word fruit really means. It's a symbolic of something. When it says fruit, it's symbolic of one word. And I'm looking for a word that is used in that passage, fruit, and then it's used as a synonym later, a parallel word.
Produce?
Produce would be one. Increase is the word I was looking for. So fruit actually means multiplication or increase. It's symbolic for it. If you take a vacuum tube, the reason you could use a vacuum tube is you'd have a signal here, but the output increased. A transistor, you have a little signal, but the output is larger signal. And discipleship means to reproduce something, and that something would be the fruit. Reproducing something, that's the fruit. If we're truly Christ's disciples, we'll be reproducing Jesus, Him. Now, we've mentioned this before, but Mary is a symbol of all Christians. The old Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and Christ was formed within her. And then she delivered Christ to the world. That is what we're to do. That's discipleship. Delivering Christ to the world. Now, what is the seed that is to be reproduced and is shown as the fruit? Luke 8:11. What is the seed that produces the what we're interested in? The seed is what?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. So, there are two kinds of seed. One is the word of man, and it produces a fruit after its kind. And one is the word of God. It produces a fruit after its kind. And so we want to look at that, but let's look at the four laws of the fruit harvest. We've mentioned this before. We harvest what we what?
Sow.
Law number one. So if we sow the seed of the word, we'll reap the fruit of the word. we harvest, law number two is we harvest later than we plant. If I plant today, I remember planting in a garden, and the next day I begin to dig it up to see if there's any fruit. We harvest later than we plant. Number three, we harvest more fruit than we plant seed. And lastly, we tend to replant seeds from the fruit we harvest. That's the four laws of fruit harvesting. Now, the Bible gives us four types of fruit. The first one is found in Psalm 127:3. The fruit of the Psalm 127:3. In discipleship, there are four kinds of fruit that we will bear. The first is called the fruit of Psalm 127:3.
Fruit of the womb.
Fruit of the womb. That is, this fruit is the reproduction of ourselves in the lives of others. That's the fruit that God is interested in us. The fruit of the womb. So we have the reproduction of ourselves. Our children are what? Unfortunately, too much like ourselves. In fact, you know what Ellen White says to parents? Be patient with your children. You made them what they are. So, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. One of the fruits that God wants for us to have is people around us adopting the biblical principles that we ourselves have found in Jesus. So that would be soul winning, reproduction in others. But there's other fruit. Number two is another fruit, Jeremiah 6:19. So disciples will be shown as making other disciples. Go make disciples of them. A real disciple will also be a disciple maker. Now here's another one. The second is the fruit of what? Jeremiah 6:19. The fruit of their thoughts. See, the reason why the word is a seed is it does something. What does it do? It makes us do what?
Think.
And the reason why it reproduces things is a thought produces what? A word or an action. So a seed goes in and it gives us a thought. But a thought is a seed. In the bestseller, The Secret, by Rhonda Byrne, she is now a huge seller on Oprah and all sorts of things, and this is nothing but New Age, actually atheistic nonsense, about positive thinking. If you think positive about money, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get rich. If you think positive about health, guess what? You're going to get health. She thinks, because she believes that we're all God, when she is thinking, who is thinking? God is thinking. That's this. She believes her thoughts then are God's thoughts. What?
Then we become what we think God.
Yeah. Well, no, we are God.
We are thinking.
We are thinking, and then our, if what we're thinking, since we're God, if we think negative thoughts, guess what happens?
Negative
things happen. But God says in Isaiah 58:8, my thoughts are what?
Not
your thoughts. And because our thoughts are not His thoughts, our what? Our ways are not His ways. Our thoughts produce what?
Actions.
Our ways. Our ways. Absolutely. And the fruit of the thoughts are words and actions. Do you want to know what a person thinks? Listen to what he says and watch what somebody says. Watch what he does. Out of the abundance of the
heart,
the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, the hand moveth. Now that's not in the Bible, but it's also true. So God's angels, when they look down, they can read my mind in real time. Is that right?
No.
God's angels?
No.
Oh yes, they can read my mind. God's angels reads mind. What? God's angels. God's angels. Well, I'll give you a quote on that then. Yeah, I didn't know anybody didn't believe it. Well, then there's good truth. Then there's good truth for y'all to learn. Because Ellen White says the good angels can read our minds. Yes, they can. But the evil angels cannot.
But they know pretty well by your actions.
I'd like to suggest that the real good angels can read in real time, but the evil angels get it in delayed mode.
Mm-hmm. What we do.
Because they read the mind's replay by what we say and do. Now, next week I'll bring you the text to prove I'm not just inventing this out of the air. All right. Number three, there's another fruit that we have, Proverbs 13:2. Proverbs 13:2. The fruit of the mouth. Now, what should be the fruit of the lips? Hebrews 13:15. Yeah, the fruit of his mouth. You either eat good or evil by the fruit of their mouths. What should a Christian's fruit be?
Are we talking about what we eat or what we speak?
Speak. Okay. Hebrews 13:15. This is the fruit of the lips. Hebrews 13:15. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I got a call from a... Yes. What does yours have? Mine says the fruit of the lips, giving thanks to his name. Is there something else, a different translation? Yeah.
Yeah.
Confessing his name. I got a call yesterday. Well, actually, 3 days ago, but I wasn't able to get in contact with this individual till yesterday. And this woman is a very, very brilliant girl. She's the daughter of a former employee of mine, and I've tried to help her. Straight A student, PhD student, and yet, as I was chatting with her, you know what I heard? One complaint after another about her circumstance. Why she didn't like her the situation in the university she was at. What was the problems with the? I asked her about the others. What was the problems with the university before she was at? What was the problem with her husband that now is divorced? What was the problem with the job she had before? You know, she went from one tale of woe to another, and I listened and I listened and I listened, and you know what? I didn't hear one thing. About a kind Heavenly Father that loved her and took care of her. What was the fruit of her lips? It came out of the seed that she was planting in her thoughts and in her life. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house, his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before time. Here he was about to die, could say all of the people that were against him, all of his enemies, and what did he do? The fruit of his lips was?
Gratitude
and praise. Was this, since he did it 3 times a day, was this his meaningless ritual at mealtime when he said, oh dear Lord, thank you for the food, didn't think about it for a second, or was he saying, oh dear Lord, thank you for the food? As followers of Christ, we should make our words such as to be a help and encouragement. This is Christ Object Lessons 338, to one another.
The beautiful part about Daniel was he knew when he was praying with his window open that he was open for the lion's den.
Yeah.
And he did it anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you see, he had the fruit. Was he a disciple?
Sure.
See, you could tell he was a disciple because he was thankful to his wonderful Lord who took care of him. It was fruit of his lips. You could tell by the fruit. He was a disciple.
Also, I think, you know, when people suffer from discouragement, disappointment, depression, when you start praising God, you know, you just start walking and praising the Lord. I mean, I know for me, you can't help but be uplifted. All of a sudden, you know, our problems become very minute compared to what He has provided for us and how He loves us and takes care of us. And I did a praise walk this morning, and it was just so neat because I was praising the Lord. You know, as I went by an animal or a cat, you know, or flowers were beautiful, you know, and the ducks and different things. And it was just so, I mean, it was just, by the time I got home, I was just, you know, so uplifted. And I wasn't even depressed when I started.
And you know something about fruit? Fruit is the automatic end point of a seed. It's just automatic. Fruit is not something that you go and then you stick on. Fruit is something that just
well, you bear apples comes up. Because you're an apple.
That's it. Yes. We should great thoughts. It will not be difficult to impart that which enters into our spiritual life. Great thoughts, noble aspirations, clear perceptions of truth, unselfish purposes, yearnings for piety and holiness will bear fruit. That's the thoughts will bear fruit in words that reveal the character of the heart treasure. When Christ is thus revealed in our speech, it will have a power in winning souls to Him. All right, and the last fruit that we'll have is the fruit of the life. The fruit of the lips, the fruit of the life, the fruit of the thoughts, the fruit of the womb. Notice Isaiah 3:10. The recompense of a man's hand shall be what? Rendered unto him, yeah. Proverbs 1:31 says, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Can I share with you an email that I sent to my son this last Sunday? Last Sunday, an acquaintance of mine was shot and killed at church. And I sent my son an email about that evening. I'm sorry for the murder of Dr. Tiller. I knew him, though only by sight. I talked to him a few times. I tried to have lunch with him to talk to him about his soul. This was I was in Wichita for 23 years. But for one reason or another, the lunch never occurred. George Tiller paid the Kansas governor tens of thousands of dollars for political support. That is all bribery money, in my opinion. In a trial against Dr. Tiller last year, I understand that Governor Sebelius ordered the state prosecutor not to present evidence or call witnesses. Tiller was found not guilty. He and his family rejoiced at the jury verdict. But had he been in jail today, he would not have been shot today at his church. I'm sad for his wife, his children, and grandchildren. How quickly their rejoicing has turned to sorrow. How short-lived the triumph. How hollow the court victory. And then I told Philip, be careful not to try to get your own way. He got his way. There's a certainty that we will reap what we sow. You need not ever fret over evildoers. Those who take up the sword are destined to perish by the sword. The Neros, the Hitlers, the Popes didn't get away with murder. Even in this life, retribution is meted out to the despisers of the grace of God. And retribution in this life is only the down payment. There yet remains the final judgment and the weeping and gnashing of teeth. The way of the transgressor is hard. I read an interesting history of the Jews this weekend. It was written long before Christ and only fragments remain. It gives interesting details and dates for events in Genesis and Exodus. It names the wives of many of the characters. It tells of Cain killing his brother Abel with a stone. Only a couple years after Adam died, Cain was killed. He was in a stone home and it collapsed. He had killed his brother with a stone. He was killed by a stone. It mentioned the Egyptians had thrown the Israel baby boys into the Nile and the babies drowned. How appropriate that their soldiers perished by drowning in the Red Sea. And then I went to Spirit of Prophecy. The Jewish leaders, this is great controversy, hired false witnesses to testify against Jesus. In the destruction of Jerusalem, men did not reason, so forth. The Jews had accepted false testimony to condemn the innocent Son of God. Now false accusations made their own lives uncertain. That was page 28 of Great Controversy. 282 of Great Controversy. The persecuting papists received persecution in turn, and happy France reaped in blood the harvest she had sown. Where France, under the influence of Romanism, had set up the first stake at the opening of the Reformation, where the Revolution set up its first guillotine. In fact, it's no coincidence that the King of France was executed on the 21st of January, and it was the 21st of January that a prior king had in 1535 had organized a processional for the burning of heretic after heretic. Yes, I said, we reap what we sow. Mercy at last ceased for Dr. Tiller. The protection of heaven was withdrawn. He had rejected the law of God, and the fiat from heaven went forth. The hand that had protected him from prior gunshot wounds, bombing, vandalism would cover him no more. How quickly Satan destroys his own. Satan inspired one hate-filled murder against another Satan-inspired murder. And then he will use the media to stir up deeper and more bitter animosity among people. Certainly our society is not far from reaching the hardened state of old Jerusalem and its destruction by the Romans and France and the Revolution. Come, Lord Jesus. Dad. Now turn to the memory verse in closing. This is our Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. How do we get the seed, and how do we do this? We do it by the seed being planted, the seed of the Word. In Ecclesiastes it says, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand. God designs for us to have the fruit of the Bible, because day by day we open our minds in the morning at worship and in the evening to the seed of the Word of God. So many families, folk, are opening up their mind to the seed coming from television in the morning, the seed coming from television at night, seed coming from radio in the morning, seed coming from television at night. The music, all these things with the seed of the world that is going to reap the harvest of the world. But God wants a people who expose the soil of their thoughts to the Word, the seed, the sacred seed of Scripture, morning and evening. And then as the day progresses, we open the soil up. We don't protect it from the sun. We open it to the sun by gratitude for the blessings that God provides. And that seed that God puts in springs up. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. We don't know how it comes. But folk, if you expose your mind to the Word of God and you surrender to that, you let it prune the growth and pull the weeds, the seed will flourish. And the dew of the Holy Spirit will create the fruit. We don't do the creating. And the proof will be that we have discipleship. That we are disciples. My Father is glorified that you'd produce much fruit. Where do we get the fruit? 2 Corinthians 9:10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. So the seed comes from God and the fruit comes to God. And if we are connected to God, that will come through us and produce the fruit that God is working for. I want to be connected with heaven, don't you? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to be disciples. We don't want to just have this in name, but we want this in actual truth. And in our memory verse, we looked at it. We've actually looked at discipleship for a full quarter just a year or so ago. I pray that you'll give us the seeds out of your ample supply, that you'll provide the sunshine of your love that we can recognize, the dew of your Holy Spirit, that from our lives, unconscious we may be of it, will come the glow of the fruit of the Spirit. And Jesus will not simply be a name we take, but Jesus will be the person who lives in the duplex of our lives. Jesus in me. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2009. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.